Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You're listening to me, Bibi Aisha Lahir, on Youth Talk on Radio Islam International, Medium Wave 1548, TSTV 826, and also simulcast on Sirius FM 105.7 in the East End. Alhamdulillah, for the first Saturday in Ramadan, our theme on Radio Islam for this Ramadan is the Asmaul Husna, the beautiful 99 names of Allah, Alhamdulillah. And today our topic is the health benefits of reciting Asmaul Husna. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Almighty, is the creator of this world and everything in it. The Asmaul Husna, which are the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and by knowing it, its meaning, and reciting it daily, one's love for Allah increases. One grows closer to Allah, our iman is strengthened, and most importantly, we have this feeling that Allah is so close to us. We have this attitude of tawakkul and gratitude. And with that attitude of tawakkul and knowing that whatever it is that we are going through, whatever difficulties it may be with our health, it may be with our finances, it may be spiritually, it may be emotionally, physically, socially, we realize that these are tests from Allah, and by having faith in Allah and praising Allah, we will get through these tests, because ultimately our journey is to go into Jannat al-Firdaus, inshallah. And these are the tests that rise us and build character within us, inshallah. And today I'm very, very glad to have my guest, our very own Abba Zakira Ansar Mia from Radio Islam International, and we are going to be talking about the benefits, the health benefits of reciting the Asmaul Husna, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Abba Zakira.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Sister Bibi Aisha, and to all the listeners. From the outset, I must apologize. I haven't woken up from my sleep, but I am recovering from a cold, hence I sound like this.
May Allah grant you shifa'i kamila, inshallah.
Amen, amen.
And Abba Zakira, always, always a pleasure to have you as a guest. And you know, so much knowledge that I know you're going to be sharing with myself and the listeners, inshallah. And first and foremost, inshallah, may this Ramadan be a blessed one, and may Allah accept all your du'as to ibadah, inshallah.
I mean, it's always a pleasure sharing the space with you, Sister Bibi Aisha.
Jazakumallahu khairan. Abba, now, please explain to us, you know, for our young listeners, for the parents out there, the educators out there, please share with us the importance of reciting the Asmaul Husna.
Okay. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa bihi nasta'in, wa usalli wa usallim ala al-mab'uthi rahmatan lil alameen, Nabiyyina Muhammad, wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in, amma ba'd. My young listeners, my respected listeners, whether you're young or old, alhamdulillah, I think basically each and every one of us at some point or the other has come into some contact with the Asma'ul Husna. We've either read it, some of us even have it beautifully adorned and hanging in our lounges or in our, you know, guest rooms as a lovely frame. The rest of us may have read it at some point when we were at madrasa, we learnt a few. Whatever it may be, the Asma'ul Husna, it is mentioned in the hadith, and normally on these frames you will see the hadith with the 99 names. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned, "Man ahsaha dakhala al-jannah." That is the part that normally you would find on the frames. Other muhaddithin have said that the hadith goes along the lines, "Inna lillahi tis'u wa tis'ina asma'an." Mi'a illa wahid, man ahsaha dakhala al-jannah. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has 99 names, 100 except one, and the part that I recited for you first, man ahsaha, whoever memorizes them, dakhala al-jannah. So subhanallah, what more could we want in terms of motivation to recite these 99 beautiful attributes, names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on a daily basis? So let's try and make it part of our ma'mulat. Let's try and make it part of our daily recital, inshallah.
Ameen, thumma ameen, ya rabbal alameen. And Abba, you know, for children very, very young, you know, their parents do teach them to make zikr where they would go, subhanallah, walhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. So, you know, if we include this niyat, inshallah, you know, ya Allah, by me reciting your names, by glorifying you, ya Allah, please enter me into Jannah, inshallah.
Inshallah. When I speak about the 99 names and the 99 attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, though very specifically and categorically we speak about the ones that are mentioned one after the other, like this in the formation of, you know, like I said, whether you'd find it on, you know, these frames or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But more so, even in Ayah of Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't mention all 99 names one after the other, but at the end of Surah Hashr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions a few in two or three ayat, the last few ayat, one after the other, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not all 99, as I'm saying, but a few, and then throughout the Quran, we find the rest of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's 99 names and attributes. So, having said that, I would like to just put something into perspective before we actually move on.
Sure.
So, while preparing for this program, I did think that it would be very important and key for us to let the listeners know that as much as we're speaking about health benefits or the benefits of reciting these names, we must fully acknowledge that these are not things that have been brought to us via the Sunnah or the Ahadith, right? So when I say this, what I'm saying is, let me give you an example and then inshallah we'll take it further from there.
Mm-hmm.
Once the Sahaba radiallahu anhum were out on a battle, and on their return they had encamped in front of a certain tribe in front of their locality. And so the Sahaba radiallahu anhum asked for some riyafa, you know, like riyafa would be for these people, because the Sahaba radiallahu anhum were like right outside their locality, for them to either share something with them of the offerings, like they had flocks of sheep and goats, so either for them to offer them some milk or something like that, just so that the Sahaba radiallahu anhum could sustain themselves for the night before mm-hmm. they moved on. These people were very reluctant to do this, and so because of their reluctance to do this, the next day, or that eve rather, sorry, yes, that eve, when a call came from within the chief's tent that the chief of these people is very, very sick and he would like some help in terms of, cure, if somebody could bring him some cure. So one of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu went into this tent, and the narrator of the hadith is saying that I found him to be reciting something which we all knew very well and which we all were very accustomed to, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so he says that he recited, he then called for a bowl of milk, he blew whatever he recited, he blew it over the milk, and then he presented it to the chief, and the chief then drank of it. At the footnotes of the hadith, it is mentioned that what the problem with this chief was, or what he had come, the ailment he was suffering from, it was some poisonous bite. So it was either a scorpion or something like that that had bitten him.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So when he drank this milk, it is mentioned that at that time, as they were still there, the narrator of the hadith is saying, we could see the effects of this poison leaving his body, and we could see him getting better standing there. And the next morning, when we had gone to check on him again, he had totally recovered, right? So this Sahabi then says, they gave us like sheep and goats and stuff like that to take with us on the way to Medina. As soon as we got to Medina, I went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, oh Prophet of Allah, do you know what our companion did? This is what he did. And then I mentioned it to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that what he actually had recited was Al-Fatiha 7 times and blew it over the milk and gave it to this chief to drink. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then called the Sahabi and said to him, how did you know? But this wasn't a question, it's rhetorical, because if you see the hadith ends there. And it is mentioned, the Prophet ﷺ said this to him smiling. How did you know? So what I'm saying is, and what we learn from this is that, at times, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum would do things that not necessarily were things that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam directly told them to do. But they did it and benefit was gained from it, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam approved of what they did. Like this, our pious predecessors have used these 99 names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at various instances to cure various ailments. And the ulama have seen how these names have worked and how it has benefited the Ummah, you know, and how just when these pious people of our past have told people to recite it. And therefore, they do not say that it is from Quran or Sunnah, but rather they agree that reciting these names definitely brings great benefit.
Abba, if you would think about it, you know, when you have any problem and you turn to Allah,
yes,
and with sincerity and conviction, you make dua to say, Ya Allah, grant me shifa, and you praise Allah, how can you not get better? Because again, it's this attitude of tawakkal where I'm praising you, Ya Allah, I'm putting my trust in you, that Ya Allah, whatever affliction that I have is for my benefit. You are elevating me, you are cleansing me of my sins. So Allah, grant me shifa. So how can you not get better? It's an attitude of trust. Whatever I'm going through is a test. So, you know, with that conviction in your dua, you know that, you know, you're going to get the patience to, inshallah, deal with the problem. And inshallah, by praising Allah and being in a state of dhikr, you're accepting what you're going through. And again, maybe your ailment may take a bit longer, but think about the spiritual elevation that you will be experiencing. The blessings and the rahmah that will come down. Because Allah will probably say, my slave has so much of trust in me. My slave is handling this trial with such patience. And yet even gratitude. How can I not cure my slave?
Bibi Aisha, do we have some time before we go for the next advert?
We do. Can I just share something with you, Appa? You know, like, growing up, you know, a lot of the people in my family have had issues with their eyes, me included. And a lot of the times, the elders in the family would come and they would say, please, you know, close your eyes, take your index finger and your thumb and rub on both your eyes every morning or night, 11 times, inshallah. Say, Ya Noor, Ya Allah, Ya Noor, Ya Allah. You know, give me light, Ya Allah. Cure my eyes, Ya Allah. And it's been a habit since, you know, we were young. That's something all of us would do. And with the learners in my classroom as well, you know, the number of children that are wearing glasses these days have increased to such a large extent. And, you know, that's what I try to share with them. If they're not Muslim, then we just tell them, you know, just rub your eyes and say, you know, oh Lord, you are the giver of light. So inshallah, you know, we never know, may Allah accept their efforts, inshallah.
Inshallah. Based on that, Sister Bibi Aisha, I'd just like to share something with you as well about these 99 attributes and names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's so important there. You know, you mentioned something and I'd just like to elaborate on that a little bit. Yaqeen and conviction is definitely one thing that's there. But when we say these names, I want us to not just say it ritualistically. I want us to open their beautiful kitabs with these names. One in particular that I know most homes may have is one that was an old one. It's like a white kitab. Mm-hmm. You will find little black blocks on it. And in the center it has one big black block and it has Allah Jalla Jalaluhu written on it. And the other small black blocks around it have the 99 names. That is what the cover of the kitab looks like.
Mm-hmm.
If you open this kitab, it has in it the name, the translation, and it has the benefit of that name. Now, this is only one such kitab. Even our keys to the treasures of Jannah, our du'as for the contentment of the heart, these ma'mulat kitabs, if you open them, they have various names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, very similarly with the translation of the name and with the benefit. Now what I want you to do is, I want you to take a moment before reciting any of these names for whichever ailment you're doing it. And I want you to internalize the name. So for example, let me read to you one benefit that they speak about. They say, the name Ar-Rahman, which we're meant to say when we're reciting any of the names of Allah, we say Ya. So we take away the Al and we say Ya Rahmanu. So Ya Rahman, reciting it 100 times after every Fard Salah will enhance memory and awareness. The reciter will feel the burden of poor memory vanishing away from his heart. This name is Ya Rahman. Now I want you to first internalize this name before you even say it. Rahman. It comes from Rahmah, from mercy. So when we are saying, oh Allah, you are most merciful, what we're actually saying is, oh Allah, through this mercy of yours, Ya Allah, because you are so all-encompassing of your mercy, Ya Allah. I'm begging you and I'm asking you that you allow this name to enlighten my heart to the extent that you improve my memory, that you improve the quality of the things that I remember, that you make whatever I remember beneficial to me, and you allow me to remember it for the benefit of myself and the benefit of others around me. So this is again through your rahmah, Ya Allah, through your mercy. Another such name is Al-Malik. It is mentioned with regards to this name for a person that is suffering from, perhaps the person has just lost their job and they're feeling down and out, and you know they're sending their CVs around but you know you just can't seem to find a job. Mm-hmm. Regarding this name, it is mentioned that reciting Ya Maliku after Fajr Salah will allow a person to become monetarily independent. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant this person enough rizq so that this person will never have to raise their hands and beg before anyone else. Now let's look at the name Malik. Where does this name originate from? Malik or Malik mean owner or king. Now when we internalize this name, what we are doing is we are saying, oh Allah, I am internalizing and I am totally putting my reliance that you own my life, Ya Allah. Mm-hmm. You are the king. And when we look at king servant, what do we realize? We realize that normally a servant is totally subservient to all the wishes of the king. Like this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what he really wants from us is our absolute obedience. And if we choose to be totally obedient to Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will most certainly fulfill our needs, our monetary needs, being the least of them.
Ameen, ameen, thumma ameen, ya rabbal alameen. Are we going to break for an ad? And when we return, inshallah, you're going to share more with us about the beautiful 99 names of Allah, inshallah. And to our listeners, please do call us on 011-854-1548. We look forward to hearing from you, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. You're back on air with me, Bibi Aisha Lahir, on Youth Talk on Radio Islam International, Medium Wave 1548, TSTV 826, and Summercast on Sirius FM 105.7 in the East Rand. Today, my guest, Upper Zakira Ansarmia from Radio Islam International, and I are discussing the health benefits of reciting the Asmaul Husna. And we invite our listeners to please call us, inshallah, on 011-854-1548. Discuss with us which is the Asmaul Husna that you recite, for what ailment have you been reciting it, how does it make you feel, how do you teach your children to recite the Asmaul Husna, and please share with us in this discussion, inshallah. Before we went into the ad break, we spoke about Ya Malik, Go Ya Allah, and Ya Rahman, Ya Allah. Abba, please, if you could share with us if there are any specific Asmaul Husna that are used for specific ailments, inshallah, and how should they be recited?
But actually, every one of the 99 names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has various, have various remedies to them, if I could put it that way, various benefits of reciting them, right?
Yes.
So as we mentioned before the ad break, the way to recite them is, when we're saying them, is not to say Al-Quddus or Al-Salam or Al-Mu'min, but rather when we're reciting them, because we're using them as cure, as shifa, then we are meant to say Ya Quddusu, Ya Salamu, Ya Mu'minu. Ya meaning O. So when we're saying O, we're calling upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala using that name.
Mm-hmm.
Now, since it's Youth Talk, Sister Bibi Aisha, what I'd also like to mention is that many times our youth feel alone and they feel sad and they feel dejected. They feel this way because they feel as adults we've got it all together. As youth, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this, subhanAllah, ash-shababatu shu'batun min al-junun, that the youth, this time that they're in, is a period of insanity. So I'm not saying this. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this. The fact that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this, it's a way of explaining that they're neither here nor there. They're constantly feeling alone, in anguish. So subhanAllah, Today I have two names specifically for you, my dear youth. The name Al-Quddus and Al-Mu'min. Al-Quddus, now Qaddasa, means to be pure. Now when we say Quddus, what we are meant to ponder on and internalize. Remember we spoke before the Arabic about internalizing the name before we use it?
Gee.
So what we're meant to internalize here is, we're meant to internalize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's purity. And the fact that Allah is totally pure. Whatever I'm going through, especially if it's with another human being, remind yourself that that person is not free from, you know, spoiling my mood. That person is not free from irritating me. That person is not free from all those things, because that person is human. That person is flawed just like me. So I need to turn to Allah, who is free from all faults and free from all defect, and say, Ya Quddusu, Ya Quddusu. And by saying this, a person will free oneself from all this agitation. And this name is also meant to be recited 100 times a day. The other one that I mentioned that will take away any form of anguish or distress or irritability that a person is feeling is Ya Mu'minu, Ya Mu'minu. So we say we are mu'mineen. What is a mu'min? A mu'min is someone who believes. But a mu'min also comes from the word amana. Amana means peace and serenity. Now when we say Allah is mu'min, Allah is the one who gives peace. So in order for our hearts to get peace, we need to draw it from the giver of peace. So when we say this, we need to internalize this name again and say it, Ya Mu'minu. Oh Allah, you are the one who gives this aman. You are the one who gives this peace. Oh Allah, envelope me in this peace and allow me to become peaceful once again.
Inshallah.
And this name is meant to be recited 631 times.
Mm-hmm. Any specific time, Appa? Any time with the niyat of Dhikr and Shifa?
Any time. Both can be recited at any time, right? Al-Quddus 100 times, Al-Mu'min 631 times.
Inshallah. Now, especially
for people like me who are a little sick, so let's move on to something a little bit more bodily related.
Mm-hmm.
The sick will regain his health if he recites Ya Salamu 160 times.
Mm-hmm.
It also keeps the person who recites it continuously from any sort of free from any sort of ailment. So that is Ya Salamu. Salam meaning peace as well. But not only peace. Salima means to be free from any sort of bodily ailment, right?
Gee.
So when a person says they are salimul jasad, this person means that they are totally free of all time. You know, it's a good day today. That's what you're saying, basically.
Yes.
When you wake up and you're feeling good. So
yes,
when we say Ya Salamu, we're meant to say, Ya Allah, you are the one who can make me feel like this.
Yes.
Ya Allah, you are the one who can give me back my health, who can restore my health, can make me feel good again.
Alhamdulillah.
So we're meant to recite this name 160 times.
We have a caller online. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to Radio Islam International.
Wa alaikum salam. I just want to say, we must tell people what two names we feel works.
Yes, please do. Appa, who am I speaking to?
Auntie Zainab.
How are you doing, Zainab?
Alhamdulillah, and you?
Alhamdulillah. Ramadan Kareem to you and your family.
Okay, Jazakallah, you too.
Ameen.
Now, getting back to Ya Mutakabiru, Ya Mukhtadiru,
is
prayed 21 times. It's in the Shifa Sharifia. It gives us a lot of barakat in time. And whatever work we want to achieve for the day, Alhamdulillah, it gets done very nice.
Subhanallah, and we really chase in time all the time, so that is brilliant.
And then Ya Quddusu, what we're discussing now, is also to protect us from all types of intoxicants. It's also in the Wazifa Ashrafia, so I think with today's drug problems and all kind of problems, it would be a very good idea if we can all pray that regularly. and make dua Allah protect us from all that.
Ameen, summa ameen, ya Rabbil Alameen. Auntie Zainab, I think it's excellent that you've brought that up, because especially with our youth, as Abba Zakina was saying, that they are plagued with so many social evils today.
So Allah Kudusu is to protect from all types of intoxicants.
Inshallah, inshallah, ameen, ameen. And I'm sure you're obviously teaching that to your children and to the grandchildren, and you know, the kids in the family.
Whether they pray or not, I don't know, but I pray and go and give them the water to drink and I do my type of
alhamdulillah.
Contribution to it.
Alhamdulillah. Okay. Abba Zakira, would you like to say something to add to the caller?
Subhanallah. And Zainab sounds very much like one of those loving grannies or moms that takes care of a family holistically.
Yes.
And Zainab, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you a long life so that your shadow can remain over your family and that they can benefit.
Ameen. 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 Ya Rabbal Alameen. Jazakumallahu khairan, Auntie Zainab. Other listeners, please feel free to call us. Tell us what it is. Which of the Asma'ul Husna do you recite? What do you teach your children when it comes to reciting the Asma'ul Husna? And how is to change your life? Please share with us what you have been doing, inshallah. Abba, please continue. You were talking about the As-Salam wa Alhamdulillah and the numerous benefits with that recital.
Okay, so I just like to touch on that one that sisters, that Auntie Zainab mentioned. She said, Al-Muqtadiru. Now, Al-Muqtadiru means qaddara yuqaddiru. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is basically has written out our taqdeer, but qaddara means to break things down, to sort of like, you know, a person that has OCD will understand this. I love having things in order like that. I'm often told by my family members I have OCD but anyway, that aside, many of us are like this. We like things done at a certain time, and subhanallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being muqtadiru, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ensures that things are done timeously. Like the sun rises every morning at a certain time, it sets at a certain time, subhanallah. That is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ensures happens. So when we recite this name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we internalize it, that's basically what we're saying. Oh Allah, you are the one who ensures things happen on time. Allah, grant me barakah in my time and allow for me to do things timeously. Right?
Alhamdulillah.
Okay, so I love that one there from Auntie Zainab, because I love having things done timeously.
Yes.
Okay, the next name that I'd like to share with you is Al-Halimu. In the times that we live, where often people are worried about safety and security, write this name on a piece of paper and wash it with water. Use the water for sprinkling over one's property or one's items of value. This will keep the things safe from all damage. So, normally when this is mentioned, I know they say you should write the name with saffron. And when you are washing the saffron off the paper, then basically how it's done is you normally fill up a jug and you place this water into, sorry, the paper into the water, and the saffron will then wash off into the water, right? You remove the paper after that because it will disintegrate in the water, but you remove the paper after the saffron has washed off, and then you keep this water and you use it throughout the home. Now, if somebody is also in the habit of reciting the 99 names on a daily basis, a lovely habit, and my own dad, Allah yarhamu, used to do this, he used to keep water in the namaz area. So we had this area in our home where we used to pray salah, the musallas used to permanently be there, etc. He used to keep water, a jug of water, a bottle of water over there, and every day after he recited, he'd blow over it. Now this is so beautiful.
Take
that water now and add it to your kettle, so your cooking water becomes part of that. And then when you're cooking, my dear mothers and sisters, imagine how those names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are flowing into the limbs of your family members, and how it's going to benefit them, inshallah.
Inshallah, ameen, thumma ameen, ya Rabbal Alameen.
Then a name, Al-Ghafuru. Ghafuru. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives, and He is the one who takes away pain, right? So this name works as a cure for headache and fever. They don't have a specific amount of times for it to be recited, but it's mentioned that it works for headache and fever.
الغفور. Ghafoor. When we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness, what we are also asking intrinsically is we're asking for safety from the fire of Jahannam.
Mm-hmm.
So fire of Jahannam being rather hot, the fever being hot, same, we're using this name, Ghafoor, internalize it. Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saves them from the fire of Jahannam, Ya Allah save me from the heat of this fever, internalizing this name.
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. I know our beloved listeners are listening and, you know, they're going to inshallah be practicing it. And I know there are lots of listeners that are practicing the Asma al-Husna in their life. Alhamdulillah. But, you know, when we speak about, you know, just to go back to what Auntie Zainab said, mm-hmm. when Auntie Zainab mentioned, you know, what was the name? It was the one to prevent, you know, our youth to fall into the habit of going into intoxicants, you know, to remove all things that are not good for them. And especially in a time now where our youth are plagued with so many social evils, where they have so much of pressure, peer pressure, mm-hmm. and like we said, you know, they in this period in their life where they neither here, they're not there, they're not adults, they're still teenagers, they don't know where they fit in. That is a very good practice, inshallah, reminding them that turn to Allah. Anytime you're faced with any difficulty, anytime you are faced with a situation where you know your parents will not be happy, where you know Allah will not be happy, turn to Allah and ask Allah for that guidance, to be assertive, to stand up to those who are making you do wrong or inviting you to do wrong, and to hold fast unto your iman, inshallah.
Subhanallah, yes. Ya mutakabbiru. Mutakabbiru,
yes.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the possessor of kibriya.
Yes.
Basically, that what that means is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, kibriya, meaning all pride and all source of pride, is for Allah and Allah alone.
Mm-hmm.
So when we ask Allah, who is al-mutakabbir, what we are basically saying is, Ya Allah, give me that self-esteem so that I am not feeling low, so that I am able to stand up against all this type of peer pressure and so forth that you're speaking about.
Inshallah, inshallah, ameen, inshallah, ameen. Papa, what do you have next on your list? What can you share with us?
I have one that I think so much ties in with Ramadan, right? So in the ayat, after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about Ramadan being Shahrul Qur'an, there's one ayah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِي إِذَا دَعَانِ. And this is such a beautiful ayah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses. It's so beautiful also that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses to tell us this ayah in that whole set of Ramadan ayat.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost as though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, yes, du'as are accepted at any other time of the year and at any other place, but more specifically my servant when he makes du'a, when he's fasting, I am absolutely at his beck and call.
Oh,
and the name I want to share with you comes from the same word, ajaba yujibu. It is al-mujib. So we're going to say, ya mujibu. Oh Allah, you are answer of du'as. It is mentioned that if a person would like their du'as answered, then you should try and recite this name frequently.
Inshallah.
I want us all to ponder, if you've ever been to the haram, or if you've ever heard the dua on the 29th night of Ramadan being made by the imam of the haram, you will see that they have one of the most beautiful methods of making dua.
But can I please interrupt you for 1 minute? We have a caller online and we're going to continue just now. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Okay, I think we lost the caller. Maybe the caller will call us back. Appa, please forgive me for interrupting you.
No problem. That's fine. Sorry about that.
No problem.
Inshallah, we hope you'll call us back.
They'll call us back.
So what I was saying is that normally what they do is, and this is what we all should try and do when making dua, especially now in Ramadan, take out time for dua, because we know that our duas are most certainly accepted, and do this when making dua. Use a certain portion of that time of dua to say the 99 names. But we're going to do it like this. Ya Maliku Ya Allah, Ya Quddusu Ya Allah, Ya Salamu Ya Allah. And like this, whichever names we want to use of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we're going to say the name and we're going to say Ya Allah after that. And when you are saying it, my dear listeners, say it with your heart.
Mm-hmm.
Feel what you are saying. So even if you want to use Ramadan to memorize the 99 names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is an excellent opportunity. So perhaps learn 5 for that day, learn it, go over the meanings, see what the benefits are of, and then use it in your dua for that day. The next day maybe you can add, or after 2 days, add another 5 to it. And then the next day use 10 in your dua, and the following day 20, and like this. But read these names with conviction, knowing that these are attributes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us, that when making dua, then make dua using these 99 names, and our du'as will most certainly be accepted.
Inshallah.
So we've seen the Daiba of the Haram have this habit of making dua like this.
Alhamdulillah. May Allah grant us the hidayat and the ilm and the taqwa, inshallah, and grant us the ability to praise Him in a manner, in such a manner that you have mentioned, and may Allah accept all our du'as. Unfortunately, my beloved sister, we've come to the end of the show. Always a pleasure to have you on the show with me. Always such a pleasure, because I learn so much from you. Like I always say, you know, my programs are a reminder for me first and then for my listeners. So may Allah accept all of your du'as, all of your ibadah, and grant you complete shifa, inshallah, so I can have you back with me in the studio again very soon, inshallah.
Inshallah, ameen. Jazakallah khair for having me.
Barakallah.
If I can just add one thing before we leave, inshallah.
Sure.
The last name I want to leave you with,
please.
And this was a special one for me when I read it. It was Ya Wadudu. Wadudu means, it comes from the word wad, love, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, in the times that we are living in, when everyone just has something against somebody else, and you're feeling that little bit of insecurity, and you're feeling that little bit of bad feelings towards others, it's a great name to make a habit of reciting. Ya Wadudu. Oh Allah, you are the one who gives love. Take away these hatred and malice and the bad feelings in my heart, and let me love everyone equally.
Inshallah, ameen. Thumma ameen, ya Rabbal Alameen. What a beautiful way to end the show, ya Appa. Jazakum Allah khairan.
Okay.
Jazakum Allah khairan.
Wa
alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. My beloved listeners, inshallah, please, we request for du'as. Please remember us in your du'as, and may the Almighty Allah accept all of your du'as. Tune in again next week on Youth Talk at 9 a.m. just for the month of Ramadan. Youth Talk will move from 10 a.m. to 9 a.m. just for the month of Ramadan. Next week, inshallah, I will be discussing social activities that our youth can be involved in during the month of Ramadan. So if there is somebody that's listening out there, if you're a teenager, if you are someone that's even younger, please call me and tell me, what do you do in the month of Ramadan to spread the message of Ramadan amongst your friends? What do you do to make people's lives easy in Ramadan? How do you assist your family at home? Do you assist in the masjid? Do you go to the Qabristan? What do you do to make people's lives easy in Ramadan so that you can get that extra reward and that benefit and closeness to Allah? So that is our topic for next week, Saturday, inshallah. Please remember us in your du'as, and for myself and my engineer, Hafiz Hanzala, Jazakumullahu khairun. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.